Well, let's start this evening right with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for this time together. We thank you just for the coolness of this evening. And thank you, Lord, for the blessing, Lord, of fellowship. And we thank you, God, above all else for your Son. Lord, as we go into your word tonight, Lord, help us to remember, God, to serve with patience and not so much with our expectations on things, but Lord, with expectations, knowing, God, that you are working out your divine plan per your will. Lord, we love you and we thank you, and be with us, God, this evening. Amen. Amen. So last week we saw Joseph, out of faithfulness and loyalty, serve Potiphar. And Joseph's faithfulness to God was visible. And it was so visible that it was even palpable. And it even caused those around him to see him as a man that sought to honor God. Now, Potiphar's wife even tried to seduce him at one point. But Joseph remained loyal to God, even at the cost of being sent into prison for a crime he did not commit. But as we've seen with Joseph before, he has been betrayed and has lost all of his possessions before. And he saw God, even in those situations, deliver him, even if the hardest trials. So through God, Joseph has everything he truly needs. Listen, you can lose everything physical on this earth and still have everything you need in God. And that is the truth. And so Joseph, right now as we see him, he is in prison. But he remains faithful to God in the same way that he was faithful to him in the days of serving Potiphar. And that is where our story continues. So if you would please turn with me, and we're going to start in chapter 39. And we're doing verses 21 through 23 out of the ESV. So Genesis 39, verses 21 through 23. And then we'll be working through chapter 40 later. But the Lord was with Joseph and showed him steadfast love and gave him favor in the sight of the keeper of the prison. And the keeper of the prison put Joseph in charge of all the prisoners who were in the prison. Whatever was done there, he was the one who did it. The keeper of the prison paid no attention to anything that was in Joseph's charge because the Lord was with him. And whatever he did, the Lord made it succeed. So just like when Joseph was a slave to Potiphar, God has enabled Joseph to find favor with those that have been placed over him for his protection as well as for his blessing. In fact, what we see is the level of responsibility Joseph has acquired by God has even grown from household to an entire prison. And we see that even though he is in a prison, and yes, indeed, he is still serving there, he is not a free man, they trust him to the point where they don't even pay attention to what is in his charge. And that is quite the statement. So what are we going to see in this story? What we're going to see is a closer look at how Joseph conducts himself in these times of prison. Last week we saw his unwavering fidelity to God by rejecting the advances of Potiphar's wife. And this week we're going to see his faithfulness and how he continues to use his gifts that God has given him, even though he is not seeing the freedom that he is hoping for. Now, this is a long text, and if you would rather, you could just listen to me as I read it. So please, now we're going to go through Genesis 40, and I'll be reading the chapter in its entirety. Sometime after this, the cupbearer of the king of Egypt and his baker committed an offense against the Lord, the king of Egypt. And Pharaoh was angry with his two officers, the chief cupbearer and the chief baker. And he put them in custody in the house of the captain of the guard, in the prison where Joseph was confined. The captain of the guard appointed Joseph to be with them, and he attended them, and they continued for some time in custody. And one night, they both dreamed. the cupbearer and the baker of the king of Egypt, who were confined in the prison, each his own dream, and each dream with its own interpretation. When Joseph came to them in the morning, he saw that they were troubled. So he asked Pharaoh's officers who were with him in custody in his master's house, "Why are your faces downcast today?" They said to him, "We have had dreams, and there is no one to interpret them." And Joseph said to them, "Do not interpretations belong to God? Please tell them to me." So the chief cupbearer told his dream to Joseph and said to him, "In my dream there was a vine before me, and on the vine there were three branches. As soon as it budded, its blossoms shot forth, and the clusters ripened into grapes. Pharaoh's cup was in my hand, and I took the grapes and pressed them into Pharaoh's cup and placed the cup in Pharaoh's hand." Then Joseph said to him, "This is its interpretation. The three branches are 3 days. In 3 days, Pharaoh will lift up your head and restore you to your office, and you shall place Pharaoh's cup in his hand as formerly when you were his cupbearer. Only remember me when it is well with you, and please do me the kindness to mention me to Pharaoh, and so get me out of this house. For I was indeed stolen out of the land of the Hebrews, and here also I have done nothing that they should put me into the pit." When the chief baker saw that the interpretation was favorable, he said to Joseph, "I also had a dream. There were 3 cake baskets on my head, and in the uppermost basket there were all sorts of baked food for Pharaoh. But the birds were eating it out of the basket on my head." And Joseph answered and said, "This is its interpretation. The 3 baskets are 3 days. In 3 days, Pharaoh will lift up your head from you and hang you on a tree, and the birds will eat the flesh from you. On the 3rd day, which was Pharaoh's birthday, he made a feast for all his servants and lifted up the head of the chief cupbearer and the head of the chief baker among his servants. He restored the chief cupbearer to his position, and he placed the cup in Pharaoh's hand. But he hanged the chief baker, as Joseph had interpreted to them. Yet the chief cupbearer did not remember Joseph, but he forgot him." So here we see Joseph has been put in a position of authority. He's been put in charge of the prison, and he has been there for some time now. He's been there for a while when 2 new prisoners arrived: the king's official baker and the official cupbearer. Now, these 2 men had important roles to the king. Their job dealt directly with the preparation of his meals, and to some extent, but more importantly, their job was to ensure that the king's food was not poisonous and it was safe for him to consume. So in many cases, because of this role, the king held these positions in high regard and even consulted with the cupbearer or even the baker, because the king had already been trusting them with his life. So why should he also be at ease with them enough to speak with them in other ways as well? So we don't know what led to these 2 being put into the prison. We can only guess. What we can surmise, though, is that the king was furious with them. And some amount of trust, somehow, with these 2 positions, trust had been broken in a very serious way. Now, it seems like, in terms of Joseph's role in serving these individuals, it almost seems a little more like a house arrest. Or, you know how you've heard about, Hollywood or executives, when they go to jail, it doesn't seem like they're really going to jail. It's just more like, for us, it would be a vacation type of thing. They get treated very well in some of those states. This seems to be something along a similar lines when I see that. Kind of like, maybe what Martha Stewart got to enjoy when she went to jail type of thing. So those in the prison, in this particular prison, in this house, are either officials of Pharaoh's government or those that serve him directly. And this is how Joseph ended up there. Yet Joseph is then directly assigned the task of attending the needs of these individuals. So after serving for some time, Joseph notices that what we see here in the text, that both of these men are deeply troubled. And they're tense, and he comes and actually asks them, what's wrong? And they're troubled by their dreams, and they have no one with them to interpret these dreams. Now, this is significant, especially during this time period, because dreams are seen as a conduit of divine revelation. I think God very much does speak through dreams. We actually hear many testimonies of Muslims and those in Islam that it is actually through dreams of seeing Jesus Christ that they convert to Christianity. And there are many testimonies of that. And usually, a pharaoh, when he would have dreams, would have counselors to help interpret these dreams. And now what we see are these two men are trying, they want help because they are bewildered by what they have seen in their dreams. They are troubled. They're distraught and they're stressed out. So when they ask for help, Joseph immediately, first off, what's the first thing Joseph does when they ask for help? Joseph first gives credit to God. He doesn't say, hey, I'm your prime dream interpreter. I will help you. No, he starts off by saying, God's the only one that can interpret dreams. God's the only one with the authority of this. He gave God credit for having the ability to do it. And since God is known to be with Joseph, Joseph would then do it for them. So he interviewed them immediately and got to work interpreting their dreams. Now, here's one of the things I love about this story. Joseph was sold to Potiphar at the age of 17. And reviewing the rest of the text tells us that Joseph is probably around 28 years old when this happened. And after all this time, not only is Joseph still loyal, it's been 11 years. Not only is he still loyal to God and faithful to God, but even from jail, he is still honoring the Lord with the gifts that he has been given as well. That has not ceased. And so immediately after hearing the dreams, Joseph describes the meaning of the one of the cupbearer. And since it was a positive report, and it said he would return to the king's service, the baker overheard this. And essentially you get a sense of where the baker's like, oh, do me next. That sounds great. Listen to my dream. I want to hear my good news. It's like, I don't know if you guys have fun reading fortune cookies or something like that. It's like if one person gets one that says, hey, you'll be a millionaire, and you know you're not going to. But then you open up yours and says, you're doomed, or something like that. It's kind of the same picture. But anyways, the baker said, do me next. And the problem is too bad for him. The baker, we find out, is to be hung. And it's a sincere interpretation because it's clear. It's detailed. And we see it come to fruition exactly as Joseph had described it. So there are people out there that say they can interpret dreams and can tell your fortunes. And if you see someone out there interpreting dreams or trying to prophesy, and they don't meet these criteria of things that are both detailed, easy to follow, and actually do happen, you can either guess that they're fake or Satan is at work in it. But the point is that God put Joseph there at that time, in that place, to serve those two people. And Joseph gave God the glory first, then he served them. It is the same for us. God has put us in a particular place at a particular time with particular people around us with particular gifts. And we are called to give God the glory and then to serve those that God has put around us. So this is the first main point that we see here with this story is, and it's simply this, don't stop honoring God with your gifts. Joseph, though in prison, though not a free man, under less than perfect circumstances, still honored God with his gifts. We all live different lives in different places with different cultural backgrounds, but God is the one constant through all of it. You know, I have a chunk of family that live in the South. And remember when winter came through, and I remember one time in Georgia, the winter came through and the state didn't have the infrastructure in place to support the people with all the ice. What we started to see was the cars began to pile up and highways piled up worse than normal. And many people were essentially trapped in their cars for hours. In fact, you actually saw it where people would abandon their cars and just walk away and be like, I'll come get my car tomorrow. That's actually happened in Chicago also. And one thing we saw was there was a local restaurant that actually saw these people stranded in their cars. It's winter, people are stranded in their cars with nowhere to go, and a local restaurant then took the opportunity and began to make and deliver free food to all the people that were stranded in their cars. Was that a normal time and a normal place for a restaurant to serve food? No. But they were doing what they do best, no matter the circumstance. And yes, it was Chick-fil-A in Georgia serving chicken sandwiches. So God has gifted, yes, your particular mind and your particular heart and your particular set of experiences even. Even more than that, he's also gifted you with his Holy Spirit to go out and do work in his name. If Joseph was able to serve faithfully as a slave, and even after 11 years in prison, still serve the Lord, I am sure that you and I are able to find a way to serve, even while being cooped up, whether it's in our homes or our churches or out in the community, but finding ways to serve. Joseph had a lot of options kept from him, yet he found a way to serve. We still have more freedoms than what Joseph had. We have no excuse to be serving. So don't stop honoring God with your gifts. Now, I think there is an important little disclaimer here to notice. Joseph was not happy with where he was. He wanted to be free. He wanted to be out. We saw that he is speaking to the baker and to the cupbearer saying, hey, don't forget me. So even though he was faithfully serving God with his gifts in prison, he actually asked that his name would be brought up for his deeds and that someone would bring it up to Pharaoh. Did you actually notice how Joseph did not ask the baker actually to do the same? You notice that he asked the cupbearer to bring his name up to Pharaoh, but not the baker. Joseph was so certain that the baker was to be hung, he wouldn't want the baker talking to Pharaoh on his behalf. He knew he wanted the cupbearer to be the one to remind Pharaoh. But anyways, he still asked the cupbearer to help him out. Was this wrong of Joseph? Is it wrong for us sometimes to want our circumstances to change? Was he showing that he was ungrateful for his circumstance? No, I don't believe he was at all. I think it's perfectly good for someone to, yes, to desire freedom or maybe even a better position if they are, especially if they're captive. But what is important is that in spite of his position, he still remained grateful for the work he had already seen God do. So just as there's nothing wrong for us to desire freedom, but we need to remain thankful and humble in our current position for what God is still doing. Now, it seems like in each of these stories, at the end of whatever ordeal Joseph is going through, Joseph finds himself slighted, seemingly slighted time after time. So like with the brothers, he gets sold into slavery. At the end of the time with Potiphar, he ends up in jail. At the end of this situation, he ends up being forgotten. Time after time, things don't seem to be going his way, yet he is still trusting God. What is great is in spite of the outcome of all these situations, is we see his relationship with God remain constant, even though Joseph is still waiting on God's deliverance. He did not give up on what he trusted to be God's plan. He knew God was with him, and he did not give up on God because he knew his God was faithful. So how is Joseph handling the situation? The constant disappointment, time and time again. Well, first, as we said, Joseph will not stop honoring God with his gifts, even in spite of his circumstance. And secondly, As Joseph honors God, he waits with patience. Don't stop honoring God with your gifts and wait patiently. You know, I have three kids, and I know patience is easier said than done sometimes. But we shouldn't be surprised when we struggle to be patient, when we struggle even more so with, well, the concept of grace itself. You see, patience tells a lot about what we're focusing on in the moment. And if I set personal standards based only on my desires, what I see as my needs, and what I desire for my will, then I will have very little patience for anything that gets in the way of my dreams or how I believe those dreams should come about. But I want you to consider Joseph's perspective for a moment. Rain or shine, he placed God in authority over his life, and he trusted the Lord with the ultimate outcome of the situation. Yet at the same time, yes, Joseph has certain desires as well, but he remains patient. He puts those desires at the feet of God and said, I leave these for you to deal with as you please. The time may not be now. The time may be in the future. The time may never happen. Lord, I will continue to serve you and serve patiently. He remains patient. Why? Because so long as Joseph's number one desire is for God's glory, and Joseph continues to glorify God, then he can wait on everything else because God remains his top priority. Honoring God is still being achieved. So Joseph can wait patiently, even though his personal desires are not necessarily met the way he wants them to be. His number one want is to honor God. And so long as that is achieved, everything that needs to be achieved is happening. How many of us can say the same thing about our struggles? Have we made God and serving God and glorifying God our number one priority? Or has it been to reach that, well, that consumeristic ideal of the perfect house with the perfect cars with the perfect... Well, no, they're not perfect. That's the lie. We're made to believe that they suffice all of our needs and our desires, but it is only God that can suffice all those needs and desires in himself. He is the priority. His glory is the priority. And so I lay, yes, there are things I may want or desire, or positions I may want or desire, but I lay them at the feet of the Lord. Because so long as he is glorified, those things can remain where they are. So Joseph can wait patiently because serving the Lord remains his constant. This is a challenging point for all of us. I remember when during that March and April season when the quarantines were starting to get pretty heavy there at the early onset of COVID. My wife and kids, they were playing with chalk in the parking lot, and Kelly facetiously went in the church parking lot and wrote, "Go away, COVID." You know, just thinking it'd be a fun little joke because, you know, we get a lot of random people driving through the parking lot. They may drive through and say, "Go away, COVID," or something like that. And I'm sure many people are tired of hearing about COVID. You know, if you could make it go away for good, that would be great. Hear an amen. All right. But that may not be part of God's plan. What if God calls this situation to go on for longer than what we want? What if he calls it to go on indefinitely? What if he calls it to be done tomorrow or tonight? That's up to God. And while there's a lot of inconvenient things happening for us right now, the question remains, what is our priority in all of it? Joseph served. And he found ways to serve. And while he was in a place where no one would blame him for being just a prolific complainer, right? Joseph could complain to no one's end, and we would all somehow understand or sympathize with him. Yet he was not known as a complainer. He was known as a doer. He was someone that was known for trusting God to overcome his struggles and relying on God no matter his position, whether it was as a slave or a prisoner. Yet God remains good in all of it. And God remains good and victorious still. So we must continue to serve with our gifts. We must continue to wait patiently also in a way that honors God in these times. It is hard, I know, but our God is greater still. Amen. My encouragement for each of you is to not forget about the gifts that God has given you. And to not just sit on them and wait for an opportunity simply to be handed to you or wait for a particular someone to tell you to go. God has already gifted you. You already have the Spirit. You already have the Holy Spirit with you. So go. You don't need me to tell you. I mean, I'll try to organize some things here and there, but you don't need me to sit here and dictate to you each and every single little bit of ministry that you do in this world. God is the source of the ministry and the preparation for it. My job is to encourage you, biblically equip you, but God is the one that has laid the call on them. So I would encourage you, yes, go out and serve. Find a way to serve. Find a way to honor the Lord with where He has placed you and give that to Him. And while things are the way they are, and things may not be going the way you want right now, leave those for God and wait patiently as you serve Him faithfully. We serve a good God. So don't stop serving Him with the gifts you have been given by Him as we wait and we trust in Him. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You and praise You, God, that Lord, nothing catches You by surprise. And we thank You, Lord, yes, for both the good, and Lord, we also thank You for the hard circumstances of life. Because, Lord, we know that, yes, You have ordained them. And God, we just want to ask God, help us to glorify You in them. Lord, help us not to be focused on ourselves and our ways, but to be focused more on Your calling, Your ways, and Your plan. Yes, Lord, there are things that we desire. Yes, Lord, both in the flesh and in the spirit. But God, we trust You with all of it. So, Lord, let us honor You and praise You with this one life that You have given us. Amen. God bless. You all have a good night.